Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to the Star Chamber Show, episode number 204, and we're coming at you live out of Lexington, Kentucky here with myself, Stephen Zimmer, and we also have on the line with us, co-hosting tonight, the one and only Daniel Dark from Tennessee, and it looks like just in the nick of time, the man himself, Michael West, calling in from Indianapolis.
Hey.
So, yes, all here. Nice timing. Good job, Michael. That's fantastic. I was going to break all the news about your new line of micro beers, you know, with the alignment with your books like Poseidon's Pilsner and Hades Half Wheat and Spook House Suds, but No, we won't razz you too bad tonight, but I know you've been working hard on your novel, so we'll take it easy on you tonight. And yeah, I guess you're getting ready for I can't keep all the dates straight, but I know you got Horror Hound coming up, so I know you got some fun stuff looming in very near future.
Yeah, Horror Hound's on March 20th in Cincinnati, Ohio, and always a fun weekend. Yeah.
Well, that's the kickoff to your 2020 appearance schedule or event season. So that's
a
good way to start it off. Yeah, definitely
and,
not doing a small event. Yeah, to start your year.
Right.
That's a big one.
I had hoped to have the new novel ready for that, but various delays and whatnot. So we will now shoot to have that ready for a premiere at Imaginarium.
Fantastic, and yes, that's on the horizon, but not hopefully the imminent horizon. We need to rest before
right.
We hit there a little bit.
Yeah,
but,
I need some
it's
time
been so busy
here.
Oh, it's been keeping me hopping. Yeah, we had I don't know if everyone's been tracking the site, but oh my God, we've had so many different. Guests being added and all kinds of stuff going on. It's been good though. I mean, we added Bloody Mary, also known as the Voodoo Queen from New Orleans, who's a TV personality and author, has been on like a load of the paranormal investigation shows and things like that. She got added. Of course, our guest of honor, F. Paul Wilson, just iconic author. Then of course the renowned fantasy author Richard A. Knack. And then the other Imaginator guest, which we just had him on last Wednesday, Howard Scott Warshaw, who's one of the pioneers of the entire video game industry. So I mean they spearhead just a heck of a lineup. So but it's a monster to keep it all tended to behind the scenes. When you're a smaller organization, so it's definitely not a dull moment over here. And
I can imagine.
But and say hi to Sam. Like the chat room is working, folks. So if you are listening, feel free to log in. Sometimes you have to refresh your screen to get into it. So it's sometimes a little finicky, but. It is working, and Sandy Lender's in there, and, of course, our good friend Bob from Australia, you know, he's the ship captain himself, is on board tonight. And this tonight we'll definitely have an international flavor because our guest is going to be calling in from Costa Rica. So, yeah, we're going right down to Central America for our guest tonight. So it's a truly international show. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
Ask Bob what time it is.
Oh man! Well, Bob, if you hear me clear, what time is it there? Of course, Bob lives in the future, being in Australia, so he's ahead of us.
It's
yeah,
it's got to be tomorrow.
What time is it down there, Bob?
Tomorrow afternoon, there, right?
Yes, it should be just about. Yeah, it's a. I always love it. Yeah, the Australian time difference, and I always wish they could just tell us all the sporting event results before they happen, so we could go bet
right.
on them in Vegas and make lots of money. But let's see,
well,
it's 12:05. Here it is, Michael. 12:05 p.m. on Thursday. So yes, he is definitely in the future.
Okay. Yeah, well,
because we're broadcasting,
Every New Year's Eve, I always look to Jessica Lay's post to see if the world's still going to be there on New Year's Day.
Right. Well, Bob, according to Bob, we're good until noon tomorrow, so the world still exists.
All right.
As of 12:05 p.m. on Thursday, so we're still kind of good. And this is awesome. And Bob, money is not important, only abundance is. Hey, that's what Bob says. Very, very cool. Yeah, as we broadcast to you, my time zone, just so you all know, tonight is 9:05 p.m. And interestingly enough, I had checked with our guest tonight, and Costa Rica falls into the central time zone. So that would align, I believe, with Daniel at 8:05
yep.
p.m. So there you go. Now we're all congruent for the most part. So that's good. So Mr. Dark, how has classes been? Oh yeah.
Oh, today was a classic day.
A classic.
Got up. I went to sort of an event last night and everything, got home about midnight, went to bed about 2:00, had to be in for class this morning. And at 8:30, I finally, was up out of bed and everything and getting into the shower. And when I got ready, I had my glasses on this morning to, see what the temperature was and what the weather is going to be, because we're in Tennessee. you have to watch it
right.
every 5 minutes, or you don't know what it's going to do next.
That's Kentucky too. I'm telling you, I know how it is.
But
Indiana too.
Yeah, it's sort of a line down through there that yesterday I was in short sleeves. Today I had on two coats and was still cold. And it's supposed to go down to the teens tonight. So, it was sleeting earlier and stuff. So I don't know. But I turned on the weather this morning to see what the middle of the day was going to be and stuff like that. So I'd know exactly what I had to do on clothes and stuff. I'd taken off my glasses. And I know that nobody else does this type of thing. They set something down, and then they need it before they can leave the house, but yet they can't find it. And, little gremlins have picked it up and carried it off someplace. I hunted the house over for about 15 minutes, already running late when I, was going to leave the house. Finally found my glasses. Got out to the car.
Wow.
Clicked the button for the locks to open up the car. It wouldn't work. Had to open it up with a key.
Oh, man.
The alarm went off. As soon as I opened up the door, the alarm started going off on the car. Got in the car, shut off the alarm and everything. Turned on the engine. And about, right after I turn on the engine, you hear, ding, ding, ding. You're out of gas. Go to the gas station, put something in me. And, by the time I got to the gas station and everything, I'm sitting there looking at the clock saying, I am not going to be on time. So I went over and got a coffee at that point in time and said, okay, we're good. We're done here. Got to class.
Oh, man.
And I'm late, got into class, but I'm there. It was an elective type day on whether you want it to come or not.
Oh, man. Well, I'll tell you what, the chat room is turning, is being taken over by the Australians. Matt Leshon, author, who is now lives in the United States, has entered the chat room. But, yeah, he's, the Australian representation is growing fast in there, guys. And, yeah, and of course, Bob had to mention it's 95 degrees where he is right now out in the water. And he's, like he said, it's rum time. So, oh, man. I'm jealous a little bit there.
It's summer in Australia.
Yep, yep. It's the future and it's summer. They got everything going on, I'll tell you. Matt's having a chat with them.
Part of Australia, if I'm not mistaken, is summer all the time. So, yeah.
Right. Oh, man. Well, I tell you what, let's go ahead and recognize our sponsors while we've got a moment. And it looks like our caller is on deck here. So I do want to make the connection because of the Costa Rica factor. So let's go ahead and recognize this week's sponsors. We have Ren Garcia and League of Elders Series and then Jumpmaster Press. Of course, the masterminds behind Jump Card and Jump Card ID. So first, we'll play you a little bit of stuff from Ren Garcia and the League of Elders.
The League of Elder dares to be unusual. It's easy to be swept away in this bold and uninhibited landscape where fantastic heroes become old friends and sinister villains inhabit every dark corner. Dare to explore things best left alone. Each book is your lantern, lighting the path to a world never before seen. So what do you say? Are you weird enough for us?
And yes,
nope.
Ren, of course, we always say, yes, we are weird enough for you. And then some, and then some. And, of course, now salute the great Gene Rowley and Kyle Hanna of the wonderful folks at Jumpmaster Press. And here you go.
Attention, authors. Stop sending ebook readers away empty-handed. With the Jump Card ID, sell your books directly without the need for an online retailer. The Jump Card instant download, exclusively from Jumpmaster Press, could be your ticket to more sales, more readers, and international distribution. Find out more about the Jump Card ID today at www.jumpmasterpress.com.
Fantastic, and just such a great product. I definitely encourage everyone to check out Jumpmaster Press for sure. And so I will go ahead and move on to our guest for the evening. And like I said, calling all the way in from Costa Rica tonight. And she happens to be a journalist and also is a very active public speaker and keynote speaker. And she also has a great project down there called Recycle Hermosa. And that's, we're going to be talking a lot about that tonight for sure. And so I'd like to welcome onto the Star Chamber Show for the very first time, Pamela Lewis. Welcome to the Star Chamber Show. Hopefully you've got a good connection there.
Hi. Good evening, everybody. Please.
Good evening. I hear you. Michael, Daniel, do you guys hear?
Yep. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. I booted off.
Well, yes, you're calling in from a little bit of a distance tonight, but great to have you on the show. And I know that not too long ago, our mutual friend and colleague, Sally Ann Monty, was down there visiting with you and enjoying the wonders of the wonderful country of Costa Rica. I have actually visited briefly there before, so I know how beautiful it is. It's great to have you on the show. And for some of our audience, I'd like to just let you give a little bit of an introduction about yourself and so that we can start our conversation from there.
Well, thank you very much. So, yeah, it's really a pleasure to be here. And Kellyanne went to be supposed to be with you and intrigued by my new enterprise. So I've done a bunch of different things in life. Would love to chat with you about that. But the newest one that I'm doing right now, because I'm an expat living in a small beach community in Sayo Mesa, which is in Guanacaste, the north part of Costa Rica, And as much as this country is very eco and very green friendly and gets a lot of great PR about some of the amazing things this country does in terms of sustainability, still it's a bit of a third world country at times, developing nation. So in my little community that I've lived for quite some time, I started out of sheer need and desire to, I started a new organization called Recycle Hausa. It's, I know it doesn't sound revolutionary, but it's really a substance grassroots effort locally in the community. So doing a lot of different things with art projects and reuse projects and to implement a true recycling program here, which I know in the U.S. it sounds like, oh, so passe. But again, here, not so much, because really in small towns where people have grown up their whole lives, they don't really have a trash problem or a recycling problem until just recently. And I live really close to the ocean. Exactly what happens to all of that trash when it rains really hard, or we have a lot of guests or visitors in our little bitty town. So I'm very honored to work really closely with a local school. And so education is our core, which everybody says is, yeah, get to these little kids. So we're teaching these kindergartners, kinder through sixth grade, on how to do it and do it right. So hopefully we'll truly be a sister child or banner organization for others to follow locally. And we're doing a lot of cool stuff. So, yeah, this is a group of expats, a lot of gringos, which we use that term very liberally here because we are will always be foreigners here, though, in a really good sense. This country is very warm and wonderful, and truly working with the community, which is, it's an honor to do that, but a challenge, too. So we're on it and doing a lot of cool stuff, so I'd love to chat with you more about some of our initiatives and how we're raising money and awareness and our retail program, which is very cool. So thanks again for having me on the show, and we'd love to chat with you more about my whole life history. Yeah,
definitely. Looks like we got, hold on just a second. Let's see,
hey!
Okay, is that you? Sally Ann? No, that's, hold on. Got a little bit of a crosswire thing going on here. Okay, there we go. Okay, we're having a little bit of problem with the audio. It's I know a couple of you mentioned the chat room. It's coming through a little bit of muffled on that. So
yeah,
on that. Just so you know that. But definitely want to get into a little bit of your background as far as what got you. Moving toward Costa Rica and tie it into some of your journalistic activity for the writers that listen to this show, because you have done a lot of journalism and have written in publications such as International Living, and I wanted to make sure we get that onto the board here.
Yeah, absolutely. So I have a very corporate background from the U.S., although I'm a chef by trade, so, a lot of old history there. But I came to Costa Rica in the year 2007, although I was on a work assignment originally in the year 2000, which is really cool, because when you live in a foreign country that you're not visiting on vacation, you're actually working. It gives you a totally different perspective. So I'm honored to have had that experience from the very start. So a lot of the writing that I've done initially was very corporate, very newsletter-like, but then have really done a lot of different communications. But as you mentioned, yes, International Living. I am freelance contracted writer for them on a regular basis here in Costa Rica as a specialist in this, a travel specialist, so to speak, in this country, in my region of the North Pacific coast. So I read a lot about the local experiences here from a wonderful, beautiful vacation standpoint, as if you're a tourist, and then also from the expat standpoint, which is kind of cool because I always feel like I have somewhat of a slightly different perspective on things, given my experience. So when I go it comes not from, say, the tourist standpoint, it comes more from a local standpoint, which is a lot of interesting local color. Because a lot of people come to this country and they're enamored by it. They fall in love with it immediately. They want to spend the rest of their life here. And then they come here under the premise of paradise. And it's a kind of a different story, just given the fact that it's a foreign country and developing every single day, but a lot of that is new for people here. You know, cell phones are a relatively new thing here. When I first came here in 2000, you had to put your name on a list to get a cell phone, and chances are you were denied. But it has certainly changed a lot, and having some growing pains as a result. So I always like to think that some of the work that I do and that I write about is also from the heart and is designed to be more of a stream of consciousness, yet really in a humbling way, yet the reality of living in kind of a, not really a third world country, but some of that. So I ramble on.
No, it's a, yeah, the audio's getting a little bit better there, but hopefully, like I said, it'll clear up a little bit more for everybody there. I'm trying to get as much as I can here, and we do actually have a call from Australia right now, and I wanted to go ahead and let Bob from Australia have a chance to say hi to you while he's calling in from such a distance there. So we're going to see what happens here, and Bob, you are on, if that is you. Is that Bob?
Hey, Bob.
Nope.
Did we lose Bob?
Nope. I think we may have. Yeah. I think we may have. But I will I'll try to keep this open, but I did see this on the switchboard.
How about this?
Is that him? There he is. There
that
he
sounds
is.
Like...
There he is.
Yeah, sorry, folks. I, you know, being respectful, I had my microphone muted. But
oh, it's fine.
I just,
you're on.
Yeah, I just love talking with you guys because, you know, here we are, worlds apart, but we have the same intention. And for me, how can I put it? Humanity, why are we here? And the answer is simple. We are here simply just to lift each other. You know, and there's, yeah, I just love it. So Puerto Rico, look, I went around the world a couple of times in the 70s as an engineering officer with the cruise liners. And I've been 8 times around Australia as a folk singer in my combi, and it took 10 years. And, you know, life is a journey, isn't it? You know? And I think,
yep.
And as John Bradshaw said, the greatest sin of any being is not to become what they were born to be.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all about following your passion, following your passion. And
that's definitely what I hear from Pamela. Yeah, she's definitely,
that's,
I mean, she's, yeah. That,
you know what I really love to be able to do right now, and given, I have all this experience in life, and it's great. Owned a business, worked for corporations. I worked as a chef. I'm in customer service. I'm in sales and marketing and facility management, property management, and a lot of that stuff. But finally, now I know that I am able to actually use all of that expertise locally to really help the community. And I know people want to talk about it, and they love to volunteer, and that's amazing. And everybody should, coming from the heart, because as we all just said, what is our purpose in life? So I think it's critical.
Well, darling, can I respond to that?
Sure.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, for me, where I am now in my life, and I'm 68 now, and getting more childish every day, is that we are all Sue, and that's S-U-E. We are all sovereign, unique, and equal. Now, I have found what works for me, and I am content. And I believe that is the challenge for everyone. Everyone has to, you know, face their demons and find what works for them. And it's, you know, I have found my answers, and I spent over 30 years being suicidal, but I worked through that, realizing that I am the only expert on my life, and the only way for me to live my life is just to follow my passion, listen to my heart, stick my mind in the dustbin, and just follow my heart. And for me now, my heart is my only compass, and my intuition is my only guide. And what I love about coming into this show is I meet so many other people that have realized that during their life, all that they've been given is bullshit. You know, the indoctrination system, which is called the education system, all that stuff is bullshit. The mind is always looking for answers, but the heart already knows. And I'll shut up now. It's time for another rum and a smoker.
So. Thanks for calling, Bob. Appreciate it, man. You take care, mate.
But you know what? To some extent, if I could just add, I say that I have this one line of many: time, money, and love. And I think, I know it's very simplistic, and you can add freedom in and many other different things, but if you really stop and think about it in life, as we are going through all the motions of many years and then not, things kind of boil down to time, money, and love. And so I'm honored in this moment in my life that actually I have the time. All my life, worked my ass off, right, excuse me, and then didn't have any time, had enough money, oh, I guess there was the love there, but always yearned for that time. And so now I feel finally to be able to have the balance of all three in a mode of moderation, not too much of any of the above, which is kind of interesting if you very introspective and you look at it, because we're all seeking some level of balance in the grand scheme of things. So how does that work in one's quest or not? Or I think you reach a point and maybe you don't have that quest anymore, though personally I'm not quite there yet, and I still quest for some level of, I don't know what it is, satisfaction or something from the heart, since those things it's finally about time that it is more from a real standpoint and not so superficial, because we have the planet to save here, so why not? Something along those lines. Yes, indeed. So how about saving that planet,
Michael?
Any takers?
Yeah. Oh yes. No, I'm good. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure they got a chance to ask you some stuff here.
Yeah, for sure. Daniel or Michael did. Yeah, so I didn't
questioning. You touched on a lot of past lives there. What ultimately led you to Costa Rica?
Oh, well, as I mentioned, I originally had a work assignment. I worked for a big company, and I raised my hand for a foreign work assignment in the year 2000, totally sight unseen as a new site startup manager, so getting a big building ready to move in. And I fell in love with the country. So, yeah, of course, just like everybody does when on vacation. But as I mentioned, since I worked here, my perspective in understanding the local cultures and the people and the dynamics and the differences and the similarities was fascinating to me. So I made it my quest, and I was married at the time, and our quest to get back down here, but in a really organized way. However, left the U.S. well before what would be deemed as retirement age, and without really a plan, which that's when the whole signs of the universe sort of kick in. And I came down here and I fell into a ownership of a company that was just sort of handed to me in my lap, a property management company, which ended up becoming very successful, that I sold several years later for a bunch of money. And I'm no longer married, and I live here in a very simple way, but you still have to have the money. So there's that balance there. So I'm happy here. I've been here for 13 years full time. So all in this little town of Hermosa, where I have my Recycle Hermosa program and project undergoing. So it is truly an amazing place. But like I said, not for everybody. Got to do your homework.
And what part of Costa Rica is Hermosa located exactly for folks that are, you know, might not be familiar with the geography of Costa Rica?
Yes.
Where is it located?
There are a couple of different Hermosas in this country, and where I am is the picture, if you will, the Pacific Ocean. So I'm on the northwest corner of the country, and it's a really little country. It's an isthmus. It holds together two continents, Isthmus of Panama. And so it's got oceans on both sides. I'm on the Pacific side. The other side is the Atlantic Ocean. And so I'm in the upper corner, so very close to Nicaragua. Dry here, dry and hot. So I am not in a rainforest. I am not in the mountains. I am by the beach. But there are other Hermosas here as well. So I'm in the province called Guanacaste. It starts with a G. G-U-A-N. Oh. Yeah. So come and visit.
Very nice.
It's a beautiful place here. I'm super close to the airport. It's really wonderful, truly. Ask Sally Ann. She can vouch for that, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely.
So it's
Costa Rica, the first
30 degrees every day.
Excuse me? What's it every day?
Yeah, it's about 20 or 30 degrees outside every day.
30 or more, 30 or 40 Celsius, yes. So it's like
Celsius, yeah.
Pretty much all time. Yeah, it's hot.
Right,
it's,
right. That's what right. I thought he was asking you was Celsius there.
Yeah, that was a trick question, right? Hey.
Yeah.
What about the
just see if you're paying attention.
Yeah, right.
I know she is. And
what are some of the challenges you run into being an American and running a corporation and charitable work down there in a foreign country?
Okay, challenges. Well, yeah, there are a few challenges. So, for example, I live in a I live in a community that has several lots of expats, as well as a lot of locals. And locals are called Chicos in Costa Rica. It's not. It's fine to say that, not derogatory, to call Chicos locals. So, in my little town, this town started as just a small fishing village, and these people, the community basically worked from the land, and they didn't have a lot of the challenges that they do today originally. So there's, in my heart of hearts, in my mind, there is a little bit of conflict, because then comes a lot of visitors and guests who come and they invest and build and things change. And the good news is the dynamics of this neighborhood or this community have stayed pretty consistent. And we still have a lot of monkeys, for example, that are wild within our community that are part of our daily life, that live in the trees, which is really very cool. However, there is kind of a gap at times. There's a little bit of disparity in income levels from time to time. And so if somebody's like my job, I say in my life as a Libra, to kind of bridge that gap and be the liaison. And so when you think of challenges in a different country where you have a lot of expats and then you have a lot of locals, in the middle there's maybe not conflict as much as there's some differences. And so I am always wanting to be the go-between those differences and how we can all work together. And I know it all sounds really very cute, but it's for real, and it's something that in a community like this, because now more than ever we're getting more and more visitors here who are in a separate equation from the locals and the expats, that continue to challenge our community. So we have a lot of different factors at play here, especially since we're a tourist community. So I find it cool and a challenge to be able to get everybody to work together. And that's kind of a tall order at times, just given all the many factors. So that's one of the big challenges. Cool. And so if you look at both sides of that, you can see there's that, the gringo, as I mentioned, challenge of those who have come here as guests. And then the people who live here all the time who have a really hard time working off the land now and living a sustainable life. Drugs come into play, plastic bottles, alcoholism, the kids going to school, and just a lot of daily life issues that people deal with here. So that's one of my whole things, is to get into the school and be with these kids and teach them. And maybe they might not be able to successfully teach their parents, but they are the generation that needs to be the change that we need to live today. So pretty important. And it's cool because I live in a little community. It's really neat, from a grassroots standpoint. I'm privileged to have an impact in a just a little step-by-step way here. So it's neat. It's good. You see satisfaction quickly, which is very gratifying. So thanks for letting me do my spiel. Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful. I mean, you're an entrepreneur. I mean, you're also, a publicist and journalist. There's a lot of different things you bring into play doing what you do down there. And I do also want to ask you, because I have one of our authors in the chat room, Sandy Lender. She works a lot of cool things about the animals she loves into her fiction. So I knew she would ask about this. And I know myself, I loved in Costa Rica when I saw my first sloth in a tree and live, and that was just awesome. And but Sandy wanted to ask you about sea turtles. Actually, did you see them nesting and have you written about sea turtles. And she also was asking, in addition, as another question involving the fauna there, the monkeys, she was wondering if the monkeys in the trees there are considered invasive the way iguanas are invasive in South Florida, or if they're welcomed as part of the landscape and environment. So I guess a double-part question about the state of sea turtles and the monkeys there. Yeah, of interest to Sandy Leonard
okay.
there.
Okay, sea turtles and monkeys. Okay, first, the turtles. I don't live in an area that is famous for either the turtle nesting or hatching. So it's close. I live close to a protected area where you have to be a bona fide and registered tour guide in order to host tours where either, like I said, the turtles are nesting or hatching. So that's a little bit further south of me. And so, no, unfortunately, I haven't written about that. But I know lots of people who are involved in that and the protection of the turtles, and they're truly dwindling. I will say, though, as part of our class project, with kindergartners, 100 kindergartners with two different schools, they all picked beach plastic or beach trash off of a large beach here, and they created a tortuga, a sea turtle, a life-size sea turtle made out of beach trash, which is cool. And I can send you pictures of that, or you can look on our website,
coolhermosa.com,
to see that. And we did that with a local artist, Carlos Hiller. He's pretty
what did you call it?
Up in this area.
What is it called?
Excuse me?
What is it called?
Tortuga.
Yes, website, www.recyclehermosa.com. Is our website. Very easy. Same as our Facebook site. Same as our email address at gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, check it out. Doing all this cool stuff. Okay, and so second part of the question about the monkeys. Well, again, in my small little community, we have a really active environmental organizations, and the monkeys in this town are let's see, considered our friends. I won't say the word sacred or anything like that because that kind of conjures up other countries. But no, we have an organization in our local town called Salve Manos, Playa Hermoso, Guanacaste, Salve Manos, Save the Monkeys. And we have actually joined together with University of Costa Rica, and they have tracked every troop of monkey in this town to understand how many and their birthing habits and things like that. So the monkeys are considered extremely special in this town. And the iguanas, we try not to mess with them, and they are kind of a nuisance at times because they're so big, very prehistoric looking. But we try to leave them alone too. So we don't really consider them a nuisance or a problem, at least some of us. I can't speak for the whole population, but for the most part, we try to really protect the environment and the species here because they're dwindling fast, all of them, very quickly here, yes.
What's the cause of the dwindling, though? Is it industrialization, or are there factors coming in from without? Because I'm just curious as to what's causing the population decline most prevalently.
Yeah, so for the monkeys, it's development for sure. And what that translates into, and brace yourself for this, is the installation of above-ground power lines. So the monkeys use those lines to traverse between tree to tree because other trees have been cut down, and they get electrocuted. It's very bad. Yeah, so unfortunately, we don't have underground wiring here. See, again, that's when it gets into a little bit more of not that industrial nation thing here, kind of old school, third world at times. So we're working to do stuff like insulate the wires of these power lines, though that's a tall order. That's one of my friends who runs that organization. So, yeah, we try to keep it very vibrant when it comes to the environment here, for sure, indeed.
Now, your outreach is, like your website is, like I said, it's clearly designed to reach outside of Costa Rica. I mean, it's an English language website, your Facebook page, things like that. What I'm getting at is you put a lot of focus on outreach, not just in Costa Rica, obviously, but elsewhere. What type of awareness are you looking to raise primarily, and what type of activity or participation are you looking for most from the people that you reach outside of Costa Rica?
Yes, thank you. Well, we're a fairly new organization, just over 1 year old, though we've had great results. And one of the big things that we, as I mentioned, our big focus is education. And so we got to keep educating these kids. Even if we're there this week, we have to go next week, and this has to be an ongoing thing. And so in order for us to finance all of our activities, we have a retail program, and predominantly we are selling these very high quality insulated water bottles, aluminum water bottles insulated, though I know that doesn't sound so ingenious from where you sit, though from where we are, our goal is to give every single kid in this town a water bottle. And it's not that lofty a goal, so we're pretty sure we're going to get that done this year. And keep in mind, in the school system here, they just went back to school in mid-February because they were on summer break. Summer break is mid-December to mid-Feb, so that's their summer vacation. So we're just starting with them again this year to do our – they're called charlas, which is known as a chat. So we're teaching and training these kids, but we got to get them participating. And so the big thing that we're doing is selling water bottles. So we're also sponsoring water bottles, which means you can sponsor a water bottle, which means you are paying for the cost of the bottle that's going to go directly to the kid, which is pretty cool because that goes immediately into their hands. Or we have a program where you can buy a bottle and we'll ship it to you. And so you also are contributing because all the proceeds from our bottle sales go directly to the school. And it's really cool to do that because, yes, of course, there's costs involved with the administration, but really what we're doing in the school is we're helping them build a new roof over their common area, their playground. And you think, over their playground? Well, you know, if you had to have gym class in the blazing sun or the pouring rain all year round, you would need a roof over your head, too. So this, too, will second for our organization as a community center, where we will host classes on reuse and recycled goods, and that's more for parents and adults and kids too. So we've got big plans this year, and at the end of the year we're going to have a big benefit event where the parents and the kids will either sell or display, exhibit all these cool art projects that they've done this year under their new roof from all the proceeds of our bottle sales. So if you're interested.
So they're making everything themselves then?
Well, that's our goal, yeah. And we're going to get right on down to soaps, dishwashing detergent, shampoo, you know, art projects, things like that. So it's a tall order because, you know, it's important to teach and train, but these are folks that probably haven't had – many modern conveniences, and so we've got to do some extra work here, and we're happy to do it. It's cool.
Do you have the modern conveniences in your home?
I do. I wash things. I wash clothes by hand all the time, but yeah, I do. You know, like the dishwasher. Not a dishwasher. No, I don't have that. I have laundry, washing machine. Indeed. But,
so you've got,
you know,
well, I've heard a lot of them don't have even, you know, the necessity of a toilet or indoor plumbing at all in some of the places that they're living in. And, you know, a lot of the third world countries that we take for granted every day.
No kidding. It's true. You know, I will say in this country, Costa Rica specifically, because this country doesn't have an army, standing military, that they have put a good amount of their resources and money into education, and that's really very cool. So saying that, the community is really more involved now with making sure the kids go to school, or at least this K through 6, which is amazing. So it's not as third world as some countries that are close to our neighbors, such as, you know, Guatemala, Honduras, places like that. So,
right.
But what you describe is accurate, and there are people in my little town here who a lot of people live in a really small space because they all live with their family. It's all about the family, and so they probably have electricity. I don't know if they can pay for it, but they have electricity and hopefully running water. They do have running water for sure. But close. They you know, they struggle, and so, you know, we all want to help share some of that burden with them. So that's part of my plan.
Well, on sustainability, I might actually have a small world story for you tonight out of the chat room. And Sandy Lender actually has a friend. Her name is Kelly Mason. Who's involved in sustainability down in Costa Rica, and she actually has a film that is up for a Sundance Award this year, and she's involved heavily in the sustainability scene down there. And is this a small world story? Do you happen to know her or not? Just curious.
No, tell me Kelly's last name again. What's her name?
Her name is Kelly Mason, and she's evidently has a film, made a film about the sustainability efforts she's been working with in Costa Rica, but it's up for a Sundance Award, which is obviously pretty prominent. And I was curious if you might know her, because I just saw that note in the chat room.
Wow, that's cool. Well, no, I don't. It doesn't ring a bell, but this is such a small country, and everybody knows everybody. Yep, it's pretty cool like that. I'll look her up. I'd love to meet her or connect with her. I'm sure we know perhaps some of the same people. It is a small world, and I love those small world stories.
She has a company called Green Pavement Company, and she just wrote a bill that got passed to require recycling and asphalt mixes down there in Costa Rica. And evidently, Sandy said it's a pretty major deal. Yeah, so it's Green Pavement Company, and her name is Kelly Mason. So I figured, you might be somebody you might really enjoy meeting at some point. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, for sure.
But,
thank you very much.
Yeah.
I hope to connect with her. Indeed.
Yeah, and I'm curious.
Yeah,
because I'd love to see the film now, because, we're a bunch of creative folks, and, I'd definitely like to see the film, because that – Those always are good for outreach and awareness. Things like, you know, documentaries and films, even narrative films that are set on an issue.
Right, and you know,
and
my tiny little town here, we have a movie theater, and so from time to time they will show special event. They will do special events. It's also a theater, or they will show special viewings. And so it would be amazing if she would be willing to come here for a special viewing, and we could certainly arrange that.
Oh, wow.
How cool is that?
Well, Sandy, there you go. Yeah, I know Sandy's listening, so that's Yeah, we'll have to follow up on that after the show for sure, but that sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
That sounds really cool.
Very cool, indeed.
I'm going to ask for our audience here, because they probably are curious. How is the creative scene down there? The writers, filmmakers, artists, how is the art community and so forth down there?
Oh, the art community. I think it's very vibrant because this area or this country attracts a lot of different people, diverse people, many of which have had careers doing that in other places, and so they get to come down here. Like, for example, my work with International Living, most everybody has a whole backstory from days gone by that they're able to pull from in their, not just their experience, but their writing styles and their travel stories and what works best and things like that. Of course, art-wise, you know, wildlife is, of course, the big thing here. And so many photographers and underwater photographers and tons of artists, I would say, because people have a tendency to migrate here. And it is a bit of a magnet, I would say, for a lot of creative types. Whether you can make any money at it down here is always the question. Probably not, but there's a lot of content to be had here, for sure.
Well, for creatives on you know, obviously all creatives, most of them at least, have a bit of a challenge meeting the bill sometimes. What is the cost of living like for, say, an expat or, you know, somebody that might be curious about, you know, relocating there?
Ins and outs to that. So here's the thing. What I tell people, come down here and experience it. Don't just dive in and say, I'm going to live in Costa Rica for 6 months or a year. Well, although that's a small, not that, or I'm going to move down here. So it's really good to come down here in a variety of seasons, even though the temperature stays pretty constant or doesn't vary so much, nor does the time of day, sunset, sunrise, due to the equator. At least where I live, the weather can be interesting and slightly strong. I'll say strong. I won't say brutal or anything, because we have what's known as these papagayo winds this time of year. So it's windy and hot. So that's like the desert, kind of. And yet in October, it's humid and wet. But the temperature might stay the same. Cost of living. It's advantageous here to buy because the tax rates are very low here on your property. Though things like electricity have gotten expensive. And I know that sounds like kind of an oxymoron, because this country, I think, correct me if I'm wrong from where you guys sit, this country boasts 100% of its energy is renewable, which maybe that's true, and renewable is steam from volcanoes, water from dams, and solar are the big ones for renewable energy. But I think the country's put a lot of money into all that infrastructure, and our rates are still too high. So there's that.
Yeah.
Gasoline's kind of expensive because it's all imported. So the idea here is to live more humbly, is to live a little less on the grid, a little off the grid. Don't expect to go to any malls and shop on the weekends. And Just keep it more simple. You do really well, much better. But if you bring your preconceived notions from North America with you and your expectations, you could run into a couple glitches along the way just because this country won't meet some of the U.S.'s, I don't know, standards, if you will, for certain things.
Right.
So you just have to level set your expectations and you'll be fine. Though it's and it is amazing. So people are very family oriented here. There are great restaurants and bars to go to, but that can be pricey. So that you should expect U.S. pricing for to go out. The food is the raw food is, in my opinion, and I'm a chef too by trade. I think it's better quality because it's a lot less processed. So you're not getting meats that are heavily infused with a lot of additives.
Right.
And you're getting vegetables that haven't been dosed with preservatives. So stuff actually goes bad in the fridge here because it doesn't have any of that stuff. So I live very close to what is also known as a blue zone. Blue zones in the world are where there's an incrementally large volume of people that live to be over 100. So that comes from just living off the land, beans, rice, and beer, and chicken and fish.
I can go for that. That sounds great.
Yeah,
and,
great.
And being close to the equator, I'm just going to guess that you're below the hurricane belt, or at least on the, you know, don't get touched too often by hurricanes. So that's another good factor for Costa Rica. I would assume. I could be wrong,
yes.
but just thinking of the geography.
It's
so
true.
So you guys don't get hit by those.
Very few, if any, hurricanes. We get rain.
Nice.
We get a lot of rain during.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 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 But that sounds good.
Yes,
Michael, you need to establish a writing retreat in Costa Rica. I'm thinking this right now.
Oh,
we need to get a writer's retreat going there, Michael. That would be awesome. Oh, man.
Yeah,
but,
people come here for all sorts of retreats. It's cool.
Yeah, that sounds absolutely wonderful. And so do you get off? Do you get to travel much to the States since or – do you largely remain, stay situated in Costa Rica?
Well, that's a really good question, too, because I am a resident here, a permanent resident, not a temporary resident. I'm not a citizen. I could be if I wanted to. So I don't need to leave the country every 90 days. This country actually enforces fairly strongly its immigration laws. And so as a traveler, you come here and you get a tourist visa for 90 days. And they've really cracked down. So extending your 90-day visa, of course, you can do a visa run to Nicaragua or Panama or the States. Though I wouldn't advise, like, being a perpetual tourist or being a tourist that doesn't leave because they actually will track you. Maybe not track you, but you it's a bad thing to do. So I get back to the States probably twice a year or three times, maybe twice a year. It used to be, like I said, quarterly, but now I don't need to leave. So I go back to Sedona, Arizona is where my family is, or Bellingham, Washington. So it's cool to go to cool places, Sedona, particularly when I need to leave here. But now I have everybody come visit me here. Everybody wants to come close to the tropics, so as they should.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. Very nice. All right, so
yeah.
Michael, Daniel, where should we take this next? Because there's so many possibilities here with. It's like I said, this is a fascinating discussion.
My question to you is is really where, you know, like say I wanted to be an expat, come down there. What are the steps that I would have to take to do that?
Well, first of all, come and visit and see where you like. For a teeny tiny country, it has so many different climate zones and different weather, believe it or not. So do you like the mountains? Do you like the beach? Do you want higher altitude? Do you like the rain? Do you want remote? So there should be that little checkbox of criteria that you think you like. But come and visit. So a lot of people fly into the Central Valley, which is San Jose, Costa Rica. SJO is the airport code. I don't live anywhere near that, and I say that even though it's a tiny country. It takes, you know, 4 or 5 hours to drive from that airport to where I live. And it's just like a little inch on the map. It's just the roads are not. That's just where, you know, you get off the airplane and you're thinking, oh, okay, we're going to get on some superhighway. But there are no superhighways really in this country. And so it just takes you forever to get places. And yet the road you would take is some major coast-to-coast, you know, Alaska to Patagonia highway, but loaded with trucks. And so you have to get yourself prepared. For the drivers in this country, too, I think everybody knows. If they don't, even locals, even Chicos know they're terrible drivers. But they're terrible drivers. Not like Brazil, super aggressive and really mean. Here, they're kind of nice, but very just bad drivers. What can I say? And that can get kind of dangerous, too. So you have to get yourself, your mind wrapped around that if you're going to explore in the country. By car, which is I encourage everybody to do. I mean, the rental car. There are tons of tourists that come and rent cars very safely here. It's fine. Just don't put yourself in harm's way crossing rivers at night or uncharted routes that are not on Waze or Google Maps that could get you in trouble. I live close to Liberia. International Airport Code, LIR, again, in the northwest part of the country. And I live like 20, 25 minutes away from that airport, which is pretty amazing. So if I have to go somewhere, I can just hop on a plane and get there. Pretty much all major hubs. We have a lot of the major carriers coming in, more this time of year because it's high season. It hasn't rained since November-ish to speak of. And it probably won't until May. But really, this country has so much to offer. Mostly the adventurer, I would say, the adventure traveler. I used to sell travel in this country, too, as a travel agent. And so this is where you come if you want to do adventure traveling. And the more, the better. But also very safe, not nearly as crazy as some countries. It's pretty civilized these days. So you got to figure out what kind of weather terrain you want.
So even with the lack of income for a lot of the people there and the resources, the crime rate is not what it is like in some of the countries that are not too far away from there?
That's a good question. And I get that all the time in some of my speaking about the crime. Well, okay, this country, as I mentioned, because they have a really solid education system, this country does, in my opinion, and research will validate this, there's a really solid middle class. So you don't have the disparity between the have and have-nots, not this upper crust, super rich, and then very, very poor people. Of course, there is that here, but you have this really solid middle working class. They get up, go to work every day, and eat beans and rice, and it might be very simple, and they might not travel the country a whole lot. Maybe they have a car, maybe they don't. But they all have electricity, running water, cable TV. They probably have a cell phone. They have a. They know how to read and write because the literacy rate here is like 95 or 6%, which exceeds the United States. And so what you have is you have good, solid base here. So what you have in terms of crime, it's a couple different things. You have some petty crime, and that would just be more crime of opportunity, just because you have more than some people have here. So when you leave your cell phone on the restaurant table, you know, somebody might lift it, or the chair, the purse on the back of your chair, your car may be broken into if you leave a bunch of stuff in there. But Ticos are very non-confrontational by nature people, and so you're not going to get a gun in your face, or you're not going to get mugged face-to-face. Most likely, chances are, it's going to be more, like I said, a crime of opportunity. And so what drives that would probably be drugs and the drug trade, which is, you know, you can't avoid it or deny that Costa Rica is somewhere between Colombia and the United States. So that lends itself just by demographics alone. But this country is far safer than, like I said, many of its neighbors, where, you know, like what Guatemala City has one of the highest homicide rates in the world, maybe. I don't know. Statistically, it's bad. So you just don't.
Well, it's like I was talking, or I was listening to one guy talk, and he's sitting there going, you know, he got this brochure from the country and everything, and, you know, said, you know, keep your passport in this and keep this, you know, keep and have a fake one on you and, you know, fake billfold and all that stuff for when you get mugged. not
what
if you
country,
get mugged. You know,
you're not going to mention the country?
I'm not going to mention the country. It's not where you're at, but it was one of the countries down in South America that is, you know, like, when you get mugged.
Yeah, no, not happening here, chances are. But then don't do stupid stuff, too. Like, okay, I'm a single woman. I wasn't single for a long time, but I am now. And okay, but I'm a risk taker, too. So, like, I like to do risky things. But even I'm smart enough in my risk-taking mindset to not walk through the woods at night on a path to get to the beach from my house, say. Like, you just don't do
that's just horror movie common sense.
Exactly. It's all such basic common sense. Just don't do that. Don't forget what you learned in kindergarten.
Run. Don't you remember you're supposed to run through the graveyard into the woods?
Through the cemetery. Right.
Yeah.
Hide in the barn that's got chainsaws hanging in it, and you'll be okay.
Yeah, no, so, they quit writing that in the, Halloween 4.
So I'd like to hear a little bit more about your journalism background and some of the things that some of your experiences writing for the different publications.
So, yes, the big one I write for, as I mentioned, is International Living, which is cool. It gets to be kind of like a travel blog, which is fun, because I have traveled quite a bit in this country, and it's neat because all of the experiences are, even when they're kind of weird or not so good, there's always, at least I have some silver lining to depict in my experiences here, which makes it fun and really very interesting. But at the same time, in speaking to or writing for International Living, I get to be the expat at large, which is cool. because, again, I bring in a local flair because I work really closely with the community. And so it's not always such a sugar-coated, perfectly positioned travel blog. It's got a lot of really and the realities in it, which is, I think, really important, especially if you're traveling, because I'm not writing about the all-inclusive resort up the street where people don't typically leave, or they do on a very organized tour, Costa Rica for Beginners. I try to raise it up a couple notches so it's fun and very realistic, too. So it's important. And, yeah, there are some stories, some I can't probably mention them stories here, but everybody should come down here and experience it because it is truly a wonderful culture and a beautiful place to be. So highly recommend.
Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah, and Sandy Leonard is coming up with new book titles for you in the chat room right now. She said, Walking Alone Through the Woods at Night, a new thriller from Pamela Lewis.
Oh, exactly. Just precisely. With my three dogs.
So how close are you to the tobacco fields is what I want to know.
Sorry. I don't know. I lived in Kentucky for a long time. That's where those tobacco fields are. But no, I live close to the sugarcane fields and the cattle grazing. And not even coffee. Coffee is grown in a more mountainous climate, and it's got to be cooler. So it's too hot where I am.
Mm-hmm.
It's hot here.
Well, see, I'm a cigar person, so I have smoked some from your area.
I know. We have a lot of hand-rolled cigars here. And tobacco, but not in this exact area. But I could hook you up for a tour for sure.
So are you hooked up with air conditioning, or do they just basically let the ocean air kind of cool everything?
Ah, yes, aircon. Oh yes, I have air conditioning. I know you guys asked me if I had all those modern conveniences early, and I do. I sleep in air conditioning. So that's part of the other thing, too, is, I'm older and wiser these days, and I live alone, and I live on the main street, and I have three dogs that are my protectors. They're sleeping right now. They're not protecting me at the moment. But so I don't sleep with my windows open, just because it's just
right.
Kind of one of those things. Plus, it's hot, and I get too hot at night. So, yes, I use air conditioning. But typically here, we don't have ductwork in our houses here. Actually, the house that I live in, I probably can't cuss. I can't swear on this program, right? Anyway, it's
a little bit, sure.
It's built like a brick shit house, I tell ya. Probably exceeds California's seismic standards, and it's not going anywhere. So there are no ducts here. So we attach these mini-split air cons individually into each of the rooms, which is great. It's really efficient, and you only turn on what you need. So, yes, me and my dogs, we sleep in air-conditioned comfort at night, and I'm not afraid to say that. So, yep. Got
and,
that air con.
What kind of dogs
Patchy,
do you have?
Two clues. Oh, I have great dogs because they're all rescues, and they all have their stories. I have three dogs. Jasmina, she's crazy. She's the number one, and she's like the type of dog that jumps out of car windows when the car is moving. So she's really crazy. She jumps over fences, under fences, and then they're all rescue dogs. So what kind of dogs are they? Oh, I don't know. Heinz 57 is what I would call them. But my two protectors, and they all have their story. Like Lucy, she got in a fight with the hardware store dog and ended up chewing her tail off, and always terrible. So a street dog with one of those cones on their heads, that doesn't really fare very well. So she got to come home with me. So she hit the lottery. She hit the big lotto. yes, I used to own a business in Hermosa, property management business, and I had office dogs who would just come and hang out at my office, and we would feed them and give them water every day, and they were the protectors there, but one by one, they all figured out a way to come home with me, so they live in their life now, for sure.
Well, somebody's got to do it, you know. They figured
yeah,
it might as well be them.
Exactly. Exactly right. So, let's see. Oh, 9:20. My time is 9:20. Your time.
We got about 9 minutes left. So what would you like to cover, Pamela, that we may have not have talked about yet?
Well, thanks, you guys, for indulging me this evening. It's been an honor. But I do want to mention one last time about our bottle program for Recycle Hermosa, which is really cool.
Yes.
And my tagline for that is buy a bottle, teach a kid, save the planet. And as I mentioned, we're a small organization. We haven't really been in, we're not incorporated. We're on our way to becoming a nonprofit. So we use PayPal in our exchanges, our payment system, or cash. But I would love for everybody to either send me an email if they're interested in sponsoring a bottle for a kid, which means if you pay us $40, that bottle goes directly to a kid immediately, and that's really cool because, like I said, our goal in this town is for every kid in the school, 90 kids, to have a bottle because then they're not using those plastic bottles. Come on, we got to get these guys, everybody, off buying plastic. Just quit buying that shit. Got to go. And, you know, in Costa Rica, it's all pretty new. Plastic bottles was like never a thing here when I first came here. This country has a pretty good supply chain, and they use reusable bottles, returnable bottles, which is great. So we got to get off this bottle, plastic bottle thing. So you can sponsor a bottle for a kid for $40 or buy a bottle, and our bottle prices for a 20-ounce bottle are $45. And they're amazing, hot, cold. They stay hot and cold forever, well, really long time. And like I said, the proceeds all go to our education and our contributions to the school. So 20 ounces is $45 plus $5 for shipping, and I will ship anywhere in the U.S. And our 34-ounce bottle is a liter, and that's a $50. Plus $5 shipping, and we have assorted colors. So you can send us an email to recyclehermosa@gmail.com if you have any questions or comments, or we're on Facebook, of course, Recycle Hermosa, same as Instagram, and our website is recyclehermosa.com, and we're a new organization, so we're just starting to do all of this, but we're going to change the world here, one bottle, one kid at a time. I'm convinced of it, and it all starts here. So I'm very proud of our organization. We're all volunteers, and we're going to do it. That's a story, Morning Glory.
I know you may have said
very
it earlier,
cool.
But who's making the bottles for you?
It's a company in Oregon called they're 50-50 brand. And we buy them from Icy Hot in Oregon. So 50-50, so they're similar to, am I allowed to say all these brands on the air? Anyway, they're really
sure.
Good.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
They're getting free
good.
Advertisements. Yeah, they don't give crap.
Yeah, this is your time, family. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, you know what? I know the bottle prices are kind of pricey, and particularly down here where people either don't have a lot of money because they're retired or they don't make a lot of money because they're local or they're struggling. But these are really good quality bottles, and the cause is an amazing one. And, like, we're so honest that all the proceeds go directly to the school and our education. And I'm very excited because this actually next week we have a big meeting with our municipality. And that's the other thing, too, in this country. I'm not going to get into governmental thing, but it's hard. The government doesn't always, you know, like, support its communities as you might expect. Because, again, this whole my whole organization started, Recycle Hermosa started because of the shitty trash pickup we had in Hermosa and the fact that I would drive around town and I'd see, like, overflowing dumpsters. It was gross. But half of which, more than half of which, were recyclable items. And so the whole our whole effort is a result of just really overrun with trash in our tiny little beach community because we get a lot of visitors and guests here, and we just consume a lot. You know, that's how it is. And so finally, it's taken us a while, but we finally have a sit-down meeting with the local muni to discuss how we're going to implement public recycling areas in our town, which is about time, I realize. But we're going to get her done, man, and we're very excited and proud to be the change that make it happen. So buy a bottle, teach a kid, save the planet. And thank you all very much for your time tonight. And like I said, indulging me. It's been fun and cool, and you let me talk the whole time. So thanks again.
Absolutely. That was fascinating. Cool. Yeah, we don't often get a chance to explore a whole new part of the world like we did tonight. And that's, yeah, like I said, that's awesome. And I will pass along to Holly, just poked her head in to say yeah, she was listening, I guess, in the other room, and definitely want to say hi to you, Pamela, and thank you for being on the show and for myself. And we definitely want to do our part and to help now going forward. Now we know more about what you're up to. Raise awareness, and who knows, maybe Michael West will organize that writer's retreat when you get down there.
Oh, and like what? I said, I used to book travel so I can help arrange all that stuff for you, logistics, all of it.
Fantastic.
Guide you in the right direction. Yeah.
And one more time, what's that website again?
It is www.recycleheremosa.com. So recycle and then Hermosa, Hermosa. Hermosa means beautiful in Spanish. And true it is.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
Hey, Michael, we could forego going to that thing called Imaginarium and just go to Costa Rica instead and spend, you know.
Oh, do both. Well, you should come and do both. Yeah,
there they go.
I would love to see anybody, any of your listeners or you guys come down. I'm always available and happy to entertain and meet and greet and show you around. So it's cool down here. It's fascinating.
Fantastic.
And it's an interesting culture. Yeah.
Well, thank you for being on the show, Pamela. And, I'm going to have to wind her down, unfortunately, because we've got about 45 seconds. But thank you for being on the show, and definitely want to have you back for an update at some point in the not-so-distant future. And, of course, next Wednesday we'll have another Star Chamber show at 9 p.m. Eastern. Guest will be the one and only Ren Garcia. You'll finally hear from him live. So signing off for myself, I'll pass it over to Pamela to say goodnight, and then Michael and Daniel, take us out.
Thank you all very much. Really appreciate it. And have a great evening. Ciao.
Good night, everybody.
And this is Daniel Dark. Until we talk again next week, be creative.